As you're able, can you please rise for the gospel? Today's gospel is from John 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
This morning, let me share with you one of my photos that had been taken over 40 years ago. Being a young man, of course, I was once, you know, young man also. In South Korea, I served my military duty from December 1980 to June 1983. I was one of the few Korean soldiers who were assigned to work with the U.S. Army, 44th Engineer Battalion, stationed in a U.S. Army base, Camp Mercer, about 30 miles from DMZ, which means a demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. At that time, I had a great time working with my fellow soldiers of the 44th Engineer Battalion, a division of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The 44th Engineers proudly called themselves as the Builders of Freedom. By the way, according to my recent research, the whole battalion had been assigned to the 2nd Infantry Division, and Camp Mercer was eventually closed in 1991. So, my military experience is now a part of my life history and memory. Anyhow, I give thanks to God for allowing me a good military service experience of 2.5 years working with the wonderful American Army friends. I remember during my military service on the weekend, I enjoyed watching movies inside the Army base, and I was able to watch a couple of great American movies directed by Steven Spielberg. The 1981 action-adventure movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm sure most of you or all of you have seen it, right? Which is the first movie of the Indiana Jones series. That was amazingly entertaining. Then, I also enjoyed the 1982 science fiction movie E.T., the extraterrestrial. Yes, that was 1982. I know today Steven Spielberg is still one of the best and world-famous directors. The most recent movie directed by Spielberg is The Fablemans, released in 2022, only 2 years ago. But it's not an action, adventure, or a science fiction movie at all. Has anyone seen this movie? The Fable. Oh, good. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. I watched this movie online not long ago. This film is a semi-autobiographical story loosely based on Spielberg's adolescence and first year as a filmmaker. As you know, Steven Spielberg is a Jewish American. One of the movie scenes that caught my attention was when the main character, Sammy Fableman, just transferred to a new high school in California after moving from Arizona. Unfortunately, Sammy was bullied with anti-Semitic abuse by some violent kids. These kids smacked, kicked, and demanded Sammy an apology for killing the Christ because Sammy was a Jew. So sad, so unbelievable, right? It must be the time of late 1950s and early 1960s in the United States when it happened. As you know, the Holocaust was the genocide of European Jews during World War II between 1941 and 45. Adolf Hitler and his Nazi Germany at that time killed 6 million Jews. And they justified their evil act of genocide by primarily insisting and promoting the German nationalism. Also, Hitler accused the Jews as the Christ killers. Hitler was not even a practicing Christian, but used this insane reason to kill the Jews. Why would people hate other people, especially of a different race, color, culture, language, or background? Why would people fear other people whom they do not know, do not even know, or have not met? Generally, the word xenophobia is defined as fear and hatred of strangers or foreigners or of anything that is strange or foreign. Sadly, in the United States, along with other countries around the world, there have been and still are so many hate crimes, victims of racism and xenophobia. There have been so many protest movements, anti-Israel, anti-Palestine, anti-Muslim, anti-Asian, anti-black, anti-gay, anti-transgender, anti-left, anti-right, anti-abnormal, and so many anti-whatever. Why would people fear and hate those who are different from them? Is it just a human's natural tendency of being uncomfortable? Or is it a simply overreaction when you feel being threatened? Maybe. Are there any other reasons or motives? Possibly. I think I saw it from the March issue of our church's newsletter, The Messenger. The United Women of Faith of three churches, Corona, Wesley, and First Church, our church, get together for Bible study, and their textbook is entitled Fear of the Other, No Fear in Love, written by Bishop William H. Williman. I also read this wonderful, thought-provoking book some time ago. Just as its title indicates, it's true that people fear others because they don't know the other and they don't love the other or even one another. One of the sentences that caught my attention from the book might be worth sharing for all of us. The author writes, quote, "Our problem is not only that we don't know who are our neighbors, we don't know who is our God," unquote. That's truly a good point. If you know who God is, you would love, accept, forgive, and welcome those who need God's grace and love more than anyone. Yes, God loves everyone, including the lost, the least, and the last. And so should we. People fear the other people, whoever they might be. Why? Of course, unless you get to know them, people tend to fear strangers, aliens, and migrants from other countries. However, the main reasons of fear and hatred is because people do not know the heart of God, and they do not know or forget or ignore the teaching of Jesus on how to love one another. Jesus welcomes prodigal sons. Jesus forgives adulterous women. Jesus admits thieves into paradise. Jesus claims that God's sun shines on the good and the bad. Jesus cares for foreigners and strangers. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. All these and many more cases are written in the Bible. We confess Jesus is our Lord and we say we would follow him. However, in our deep hearts, there are always fears, reservations, and reluctance to welcome or love the other whom Jesus also loves. Let us remember, 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." Yes, God created everyone around the world. We all are human beings and the children of God, even though we are diverse and different. God loves you. God loves me. And God loves everyone. And God desires everyone to be saved. Apostle Paul proclaims in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "This is right and acceptable before God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." This morning's Gospel of John passage is about Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Verses 14 and 15 might be the key sentence here. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And then next verse, 16, is very important also. "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." Let's say all together, one flock, one shepherd. In Jesus' time, especially in Jesus' setting, Israel's setting, for the Jews, there are only two kinds of people in the world, Jews and Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Everyone who is not Jewish. Being a Jew himself, Jesus began his ministry from Israel and later expanded to the Gentile territories, which means the outside of Israel, reaching out to the Jews first, then the Gentiles. This was Jesus' primary mission strategy. And the same strategy was followed by his disciples, all the followers of Jesus and the early church movement as well. So when Jesus says, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold," he refers to the Gentiles who are non-Jews. Yes, Jesus confirms that these Gentiles are to be included in God's one flock. Yes, Jesus also affirms that by saying, "I must bring them also." Now, today, we are not the ancient Jews, and we are not living in Israel. For Christians, this ancient Jewish stereotype of Jews versus Gentiles is no longer valid or relevant. However, if we identify ourselves as contemporary Jews, we might also have contemporary Gentiles among us in our society. Then who would be these contemporary Gentiles? Maybe non-Christians? Maybe non-church people? Maybe non-religious people? Maybe those who are lost and in need of help and direction? Maybe those who are suffering, maybe strangers and migrants, maybe those who are marginalized in this society, maybe homeless, maybe simply nobodies, or people still staying outside of God's grace. Jesus, nevertheless, is the good shepherd for all these contemporary Gentiles, not just for good and righteous people. I am sure you remember the parable of the lost sheep from Luke 15. It is about a shepherd who leaves his flock of 99 sheep in order to find the only one who is lost. Some people might think that this shepherd is ridiculous and foolish. Why would you bother to go search for just one troublemaking missing sheep rather than taking a good care of the majority, 99 obedient and good sheep? Yes, comparing the 99, only one sheep sounds like almost nothing, right? Probably many readers and listeners might think it that way in terms of the numbers, efficiency, or even majority. However, if you identify yourself as that lost sheep, this story will become totally different, right? Jesus, the good shepherd, comes to you and to rescue you, no matter who you are and what you have done. When he finds the one sheep, the shepherd shouts with joy, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Finally, Jesus concludes his parable, "I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Yes, we all belong to the same one flock under the protection and guidance of one shepherd, Jesus, who loves us unconditionally. Each and every one of you is so precious to Jesus. My sisters and brothers in Christ, remember in John chapter 21, Jesus is asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Every time Peter is answering, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," then Jesus is saying, "Feed my sheep," not just once, but three times. I believe Jesus is not asking only pastors or only church leaders these questions and instructions, but Jesus is asking every single Christian who would follow Jesus' ways of love and life, including each and every one of you, because we all are one flock with one shepherd, and we are called to minister to one another by loving one another without any fears or restrictions or borders. John Wesley also once proclaimed, "The world is my parish." Yes, one flock, one shepherd. And we are called to minister to the whole world. And we are called to love the whole world. And we have this blessed Jesus, our good shepherd, in our ministries and in our lives always. Thanks be to God. Amen.